Well, welcome again, everyone, to another broadcast of Help and Hope for Families. I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member of Family Life here in the Pittsburgh area, along with Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our Pittsburgh Family Life team, and Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and licensed Christian counselor, and Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So welcome back to the microphone, everyone.
Oh, thanks so much, Tim. Appreciate you having us here this evening.
Good to be here, Tim. Thank you for having us.
You know, Tim, I didn't realize how popular this show was. Because just the other day, as a matter of fact, my wife and I were at a restaurant, and our server came over to us with this, asked me for my autograph. She came over with this little white piece of paper, and she put it in front of me with a pen, and she said, here, sign here.
Kidding.
And she even gave me a copy for me to sign for myself.
Wow. Can you tell we have a lot of fun here?
Popular show.
Yeah, I hope you gave her a good tip there. That was great. Well, we want to talk about something solemn, I guess, in our society today, something that's probably one of the biggest marriage killers in America today, and that's pornography. 35% of all internet usage is pornographic these days, and as many as 50% of men have serious struggles with it. And it affects those outside the church and inside the church, unfortunately. So, Catherine and Pam, if a man is addicted to pornography, how does it make his wife feel who knows he's addicted to it?
Such a good question. And we know that can go either way, but we focus now in this moment about husbands. And I know Pam will share her experiences. What my observation is in the couples that we've gotten to know, Tim, is the breaking of trust, I think, is the most critical thing I see. You know, a marriage is based on trust. And if we do not have that, and this is one of those insidious things that the enemy, Satan, our culture, and just our own drive, our own flesh, gets in the way, it really is going to be a marriage killer. There's anger. There's hiding of sin. There's a change. There's, right, and there's a change in the sexual drive between husband and wife. And it leads us down a terrible, terrible track, a terrible road. We need to pause and we need to get some help.
And I think from experience, the fear of abandonment is huge. Thinking I'm not good enough, that's really big. Thinking if I were just prettier, if I were just better, if I were thinner, all those things that, and then there's anger as well.
Our world does not do us any favors, does it, in helping women be encouraged to be who they are. Rather, they need to meet this image, to your point.
Right, right. And there's so many images out there that the perfect, you know, even on the internet, we put our perfect pictures on there. We don't put the ones when we first get up in the morning.
So you're thinking, you're also thinking, I could never measure up. This is hopeless. This is useless.
Absolutely.
What is the point, you know?
Well, absolutely. We live in this airbrushed society. Mm-hmm. Everything, as you mentioned, Facebook, Pam, just for example.
Right.
You know, everything's perfect.
Yes.
We don't see people's bad days. We don't see the struggles and the pain. And so, therefore, reality is that we're facing these battles, and this is something the enemy uses to get between husband and wife. We really want to pay attention to this conversation.
You know, I've often thought as an image would come across a screen, I would think to myself, that could be my daughter. Or what if there's a man out there who this is his daughter, and she's being objectified.
Yes.
What if it was my daughter? Would I want my daughter to be objectified? And that's a painful way of thinking about that.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
Well, Tom, what does God have to say about a man or a woman involved in porn?
Well, I think we see that in the scripture, such for example as Psalm 101, 2 through 3, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And then Philippians, I love these verses, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Whatever is true, honest, just, pure, think on these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. One or two more, 1 Thessalonians 5, 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Romans 13, 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Mm-hmm. God's word gives us scripture to help us with this.
You know, I think that would be very, very helpful is to take that first verse you mentioned, Tom, Psalm 101, 2 and 3, and place it on a card right next to your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or television, too, but especially the computer that says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I think that would be a visual clue.
It's just too easy. Our challenge, honestly, Tim, it is just too easy to access these images, honestly, even on a cell phone. I mean, it's just everywhere. It used to be in a day when we were much younger that we would have to take pretty dramatic steps and go out in places that we might not want to go to. And we're talking, you know, a generation or two ago. You know, and possibly be embarrassed, but at that point, it's way too late. I mean, this is an addictive thing. And I had said this in a previous broadcast that we had talked about the decision. There comes a point when this hits us in our face, it smacks us, and we have to make a decision. Am I going to go this way where I click this button, or am I going to pick up the phone and talk to a trusted friend? Am I going to pick up scripture? I can't do this alone. I need somebody else. It's just another addictive thing. But there's a chemical reaction in our brains that hit us this way too. And let's not forget, this is not just men. I mean, the increased instances of women becoming addicted to pornography has dramatically increased as well. So it is just out of control epidemic, another one of these crazy things that we just have to, when we get to that point, we have to say, no, I'm going to pick up God's word, or I'm going to pick up the phone, I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to run. Mm-hmm. We're not going to just stand there and wait for it. We got to turn around and go 180 degrees the opposite direction. Literally, if we have to get out of the house, we get out of the house. If we have to take our phone and throw it in water, take our phone and throw it in water. I mean,
that's, like Joseph running away from Potiphar's wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Get gone.
Get gone.
Get gone.
Yeah, someone said that internet pornography has earned itself a reputation for being the crack cocaine of sexual addiction. That's how serious it is. Tom, what spiritual steps and marital steps does a person have to take to escape from the addiction to pornography?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at spiritual steps, and we know that we want to humbly and truly confess it as sin, as God sees it. It's time, in my opinion, it's time we stop trying to justify this, and we let's call sin sin, and let's recognize it, let's and then repent. Or to repent means to change your mind, to turn away from, as you alluded to a moment ago, Scott, and then truly being sorry for it, and asking God to forgive us. And I think this is also a great time that, you know, there may be somebody listening to this right now, and you may have your computer on or your phone out in front of you. Listen, if you've never done this before, and you've never called on Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can actually do that in this moment right now. You can come to Him, something along the line, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I look to You. I can't do this on my own. I repent of my sin. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Come into my heart. Change me. Save me. And that's and the Holy Spirit comes in and aids with the overcoming the addiction. And this is a powerful addiction that, like so many other things, we need somebody. We need the Holy Spirit. We need others to walk along beside us.
And Tom, if someone is listening who is a believer in Christ already and they're involved with pornography, they can apply 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. And then His Holy Spirit, we have to ask Him to take control of the throne of our heart, to give us the power to overcome the pornography that is destroying the relationships with our spouse. And I remember what Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the key. Mm-hmm. So, Tom, a delicate question.
This is tough.
A very delicate question is, do you recommend a man confessing his addiction to pornography to his wife?
I do, but with guidance. I don't, like, if somebody's listening right now and you're thinking about confessing to your wife, seek help before you do that. These out of the blue confessions can be very devastating to the wife. Mm-hmm. And I think the husband actually, and it could be the wife too that's confessing, but whoever is addicted, they need some guidance in the healthiest way to go about confessing. But in answer to your question, yes, I do recommend it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
You know, Tom, how could someone get a hold of you if they needed some guidance in that area?
Sure. They can reach me at 724-672-3670. They can email me at tj1162@gmail.com, or they can find me at www.thekeystonecounseling.org.
You know, it might be a great time to ask the wives the question, you know, what if your husband is in this situation, what can you do to assist him? Is it even possible to find it within your heart to say, you know, I'm actually going to help him. He's really hurting, and he's got – this is so much bigger than just this addictive thing. Mm-hmm. There's issues going on in his life. How can you help?
Yeah, you know, and Tom reminded us, along with you, Scott, we could be talking to either spouse right now.
Mm-hmm.
But sin is sin, and addictions are powerful. And you reminded us in an earlier broadcast, Scott, which I just thought was wonderful. We're made to worship. We're made to worship something.
Yeah.
And when there is a hole in a person's heart that only God can fill, it easily is filled with these other lesser things, these addictions that take root. So I think primarily as an onset, anyone, we never want to shame them in their struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We want to come with a heart of compassion, with a heart of understanding, and ask some questions to begin understanding. Now, maybe we need to get in touch with someone like Tom,
mm-hmm.
because I just don't know where to start. But we come with an attitude of love as we start.
Yeah, I think what Tom was saying, too, is to any husband or wife who's listening, don't just blurt this out.
No.
I mean, you do need some counsel on how to properly approach, because you want your spouse to receive.
Mm-hmm.
You may be a well-intended person and are stuck here.
Right.
And how will my spouse receive this? How do I do this well so that they know that my heart is contrite and broken and that they're willing to work with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Pam, what are your thoughts?
I just think the importance of prayer for them and with them, and allowing that power of the Holy Spirit to help, but insisting sometimes on counseling.
Yes.
Yeah, together or individually or just for the person?
I think to begin with, individually, then together.
Yeah, I would agree with that. From my perspective as a counselor, and I'm a certified sex addiction therapist, is that there needs to be boundary set. You can't, wives can't sex it out of their husband. There needs to be boundary set.
Well, we're going to pick this up next week, and we hope that each one listening can stop by next week for our program on Help and Hope for Families as we continue and try to see what else a husband or wife can do after acknowledging their sin of this and what they can do.
Yeah.
And so join us next week for another Help and Hope for Families.
Thanks for having us, Tim.